Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Understanding Service Integration Bus JMS Messaging in WebSphere Liberty. The presenters are Geeta Nadala and Ty Schreck. Geeta has over 10 years of experience in Level 2 technical support. Areas of specializations include WebSphere MQ, WebSphere Application Server Service Integration Bus, J2C, Transactions, WLM, and HA Manager. Ty has been working for IBM for over 21 years and has worked on Service Integration Bus since its release. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ty.
Thank you, Kathy, and good morning, everybody. Kathy, if we could move to slide number 2, please. Thank you. Here's our agenda for today, folks. First, we're going to talk about the Liberty Messaging architecture. Then we're going to do a quick overview of Liberty Messaging itself. Then we're going to take a pretty detailed look at Liberty Messaging features. This is really where the real core of Liberty is exposed. Then we're going to look at application deployment, primarily MDBs, and message handling, monitoring, and troubleshooting. And Kathy, if we can go to slide 3, please. Okay, this is the basic Liberty Messaging architecture. Everything you see here in blue is the basic architecture that you need for messaging itself. All of these services are available through the WiseJMS Server 1.0 feature, which we're going to talk about more here in a minute. The services shown in blue are the core services that are required for the messaging engine to get started and are enabled when WiseJMS Server 1.0 feature is enabled. So for those of you that are familiar with WebSphere ND or the larger full-blown WebSphere product, Liberty uses messaging engines just like WebSphere does, although this is one of the more lightweight service. It's not intended for heavy-duty JMS messaging. And these features in blue are core of the messaging and messaging engine services. And you'll notice persistent store is a file store, always with Liberty. And the rest of the services in yellow are available only when required features are enabled. So those aren't turned on automatically. You have to do some things to get those going. The ground service is just a communication service for the messaging engine. Security is available through a feature, WiseJMS Security 1.0 feature, which we're going to talk about in more detail here in a few minutes. The transaction feature is pretty robust. Liberty provides many of the same transaction services that are provided in the WebSphere application server traditional environment, which many of you are probably familiar with. If an application uses two or more resources, the Liberty Transaction Manager coordinates the updates to all the resource managers under the control of a global transaction. And in Liberty, transaction services are implicitly activated when you specify features that require the use of transactions, for example, JPA, JBC, and, of course, the WiseJMS Server 1.0 service that we're looking here. Below that, kind of in the lower right-hand corner, you also see the resource adapter service and the JMS resource service. The resource adapter service is used to connect to MQ and other third-party JMS providers. And the JMS resource service is used to connect to the messaging engine in Liberty or WAS, like WASND, for example. And these are available through the WASJMS Client 1.1 or WASJMS Client 2.0 feature, which, again, anytime you hear me kind of rattle off these features, we're going to talk about them in more detail here in a moment. So if we can, let's move on to slide 4, please, Kathy. Thank you. Okay, overview of Liberty Messaging. First and foremost, it provides lightweight JMS server. It's really good for testing and lightweight messaging applications. If you're processing 5 million messages a day, this probably is not the best choice. You probably want to go with the full WebSphere product. It's composable, it's flexible, and it's a dynamic messaging service. It's both JMS 1.1 and JMS 2.0 compliant, as long as you're at version 8.5.5.6 or above that. It supports both point-to-point and publish-subscribe messaging models. And supported messaging providers are the Liberty Embedded JMS Server, which is the messaging engine inside Liberty itself, Service Integration Bus messaging provider, which most of you are probably familiar with, which is the regular full-blown WAS provider, and the WebSphere MQ messaging provider. It also supports message-driven beam deployment, and its interoperability with full has interoperability with full-profile WebSphere application server. So just a quick comment on some of this stuff. By composable and flexible, what we mean there is that required features can be added and removed as you need them. Okay, so in that sense, Liberty is kind of very modular. You can turn things on and off and plug things in and unplug them very easily. It's dynamic because adding features and updating the config, the configuration does not require server restart, and updates are picked up on the fly. So there's no need to restart the Liberty server when you're adding or removing features, which is very convenient. And so one last thing. Going back to this lightweight JMS server business, when I say lightweight, the entire footprint of Liberty server is only about 50 megabytes with a simple JMS application running. So compared to WAS, that's very, very small. So the memory requirements, heap space and so on for Liberty are far smaller than WebSphere. And I'll give you an example. In WebSphere, if you create a server that's intended to run a messaging engine, the default heap size is 768 megabytes, which is far larger than this. So you can see how much smaller and much more lightweight this is. For testing purposes, this is a really, really good thing. Okay, let's move on to slide 5, please. Okay, all JMS messaging configuration is performed either in the Liberty Admin Center or by directly editing the server.xml file. This includes the configuration of views for point-to-point and topics for published subscriber messaging, as well as message engine configuration and connections to other JMS providers such as WebSphere and Qt. And the deployment parameters are also found here. There's also a lot of other stuff inside the server.xml file. If you've ever looked at one, you can really put a lot of stuff in there. If you configure your system and encounter problems or unexpected behavior, the solution is almost always an incorrectly configured part of server.xml. And Kathy, if we can move on to slide 6, please. Okay, supported JMS providers in Liberty. Of course, you can connect your applications directly to Liberty Server, in other words, the messaging engine right inside of Liberty. And as this diagram shows, you can also connect it to WebSphere MQ and Service Integration Bus. What this diagram does not show is that you can actually connect to third-party JMS providers, okay? For example, maybe ActiveMQ or JBoss or something like that. But you, of course, have to have the resource adapter to do that. There is a page in the Liberty Information Center that describes how to do this, but it's a little difficult to find. So I think what we're going to do is Keita and I will probably create a DW Answer article that explains where that page is in the Info Center and give some guides on how to get that done. So if you can connect to a third-party JMS provider with Liberty, I don't know if any customers have done so. There might be one or two. But it is possible, just to let you know. And we'll write an article to provide the information about that, the details. So if we can move to slide 7, please. Okay. I mentioned earlier that this feature business is rather important. Features are things, are little components that you can enable or disable, basically. The biggest one, the biggest two, actually, the first two, the first one is WAS JMS Server 1.0. That instantiates the messaging engine runtime. So you have to have that if you want to have a messaging engine. If you want to do JMS, you have to have this turned on. The second one is WAS JMS Client. That provides client libraries and access to messaging resources through the JMS 1.1 API. The next one is the WAS JMS Client 2.0, which is for the JMS 2.0 API. That would be the recommended one. WAS Security 1.0 enables messaging engine to be secured. And JMS MDB 3.1 provides capabilities to configure and deploy MDBs written to the EJB 3.1 specification. And likewise, there is another one for 3.2. And the 3.2 is recommended rather than the 3.1. And if we move on to the next slide, please, there's going to be some more about that later on, about this 3.1, 3.2 thing. But first, let's talk about these individual features and how you turn them on. You turn them on in the server.xml file in the feature manager stanzas of the file. And the biggest one you need to turn on is WAS JMS Server 1.0, and that enables messaging engine. So you've got to have that, obviously. It provides runtime capabilities for the messaging server. It manages connections, persistence, transactions, security. and it allows creation of destinations and managed authorization for messaging sources. And so to actually turn it on, in other words, the edit that you need to make to the server.xml file, you simply add the line that you see here in red in the feature manager stanza. So it's very easy to do. And you'll see that the other features are done the same way. So let's move on to slide 9, please. Okay, WASP JMS Client 1.1 feature provides applications with access to message queues hosted on the WebSphere application server through the 1.1 JMS API, and it enables access to the messaging engine that's enabled through the WASP JMS server feature we just talked about. The messaging engine and the service integration bus that's hosted on a full profile server can also be accessed with this feature enabled. And the feature provides the definition of the JMS resources and registers the objects in the repository. So in other words, when you install or enable this feature, that allows you to create connection factories, queue connection factories, topic connection factories, activation specifications, and then, of course, queues and topics. So these two components, the WASP server and the JMS client, are the two things you must have enabled if you want to do JMS. And looking at the bottom of this, how do you enable the JMS 1.1 client? Again, it's very simple. You go into the feature manager stanza and you add this line for this particular feature. So it's done exactly the same way as any other feature. It's very simple to actually turn it on. So let's move on to slide 10, please. Okay, this is the WASP JMS 2.0 client. This would be the preferred one because it has more features and it's up to the latest JMS specification, which is 2.0. And it provides applications with access to the message queues that are hosted in WebSphere Application Server through the 2.0 API. It supersedes the 1.1 API. Almost everybody I know that uses JMS, by the way, is using 2.0. So if you're going to do this, this would be the preferred setting. It's compliant with 2.0 specifications, which is good. And it's supported only on JDK 7 or later. That's the one caveat with this. I'm sure you've got the latest and greatest JDK. And it enables access to the messaging engine enabled through the WASP JMS server feature we talked about before, and the messaging engine in the service integration bus that's hosted on a full profile server. So you can use this to connect to either the internal messaging engine in Liberty or an external messaging engine in full-blown WASP. And how do you enable the feature? Exactly the same way as before. The only difference here is the specification level. So you go into the feature manager stanzas and you add this line for WASP JMS 2.0, and that's it. It automatically becomes enabled. You don't have to restart anything, so it's very simple to do. And let's go to slide 11, please. Okay, a bit here about Liberty Security. There's several different levels, but in order to enable any of those, you've got to enable the WASP JMS Security 1.0 feature, and it enables the WebSphere embedded messaging server to authenticate and authorize access from JMS clients, just like bus security is in the regular WebSphere. And it does authentication, which validates if the user has permission to even connect to the messaging engine, and then authorization, which validates if the user has sufficient roles or permissions to access the messaging resources, such as queues and topics. And to enable it, here again, you go right into the feature manager stanzas and you add this line for the WASP JMS Security 1.0 feature, and that's it. It's simple. Very easy to do. Now, once this is enabled, let's move on to slide 12, please. Once this is enabled, you've got three different kinds of security you can turn on here. So the first one is Quick Start Security, which supports only one user. That might be for a test scenario, I could imagine. Next one is Basic Registry, which supports multiple users and declaration of user groups, so that's far more flexible. And the last one is LDAP Registry, which allows connectivity to external LDAP registries because they know that requires some sort of security. And you can see the diagram here. On the left-hand side, you've got your messaging application that uses a connection factory through a DNDi lookup. And that's all normal, but then it accesses the client libraries, and that's where security is accessed or enabled. And so it's just a program to give you a sort of visual picture of this. And if we move on to slide 13, I'll show you how to set it up here. Okay, the first one, which was Quick Start Security, is very simple. You simply add a line in the server.xml file that says Quick Start Security, and then you specify a username and a user password. And that's all you have to do, really. and that should take effect pretty much immediately on the fly. And it can encode that password. I don't know of anybody that's done this, but it's there if you want to, for a little tighter security. Then the next type of security is basic registry, and this is probably the one that most users are going to want to use, particularly in a production environment. And so for this, you add the following basic lines. This is just an example. You can kind of use this as a template for your own purposes. You add a basic security tag. You give it an ID and a realm name. And then here's the important bit here is you can specify usernames and passwords. You can also specify a group name, such as admins, and then users under that group. So this is obviously a lot more flexible than just using a single user, and this is probably going to be the choice for most customers. And so let's move on to slide 14, please. Okay, for LDAP security, obviously this is going to be a little more complicated. LDAP has a lot of tags and name-value pairs typically, and this is just an example. Use this as a template, although it's obvious when you're looking at something like this, if there's a typo, something like that, some sort of syntax error, this is probably where it's going to happen. So if you can't connect to LDAP once you do this, this is obviously where to look because it's probably a typo or something like that. Okay, and all this is authorization, which is access to messaging resources.